Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 4 tonight, primarily. And let's read down to verses 1 and 2 to start off with. And then we will continue down a little further after we've opened in a word of prayer. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Dear Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for the time you've given us to focus on your word, to be excited about your word, to be moved by your word. Lord, in times of old, Lord, in the synagogues and in groups, all your people have always gathered together around your word. Father, it's been a part of what it means to be a believer in God, Lord, all through creation, Father. And I pray that we continue that, not tradition tonight, but that command on us, that blessing that we get to experience gathering together around your word. Father, I pray that you help me as I try to do justice to just a few of the small facets of this diamond, of this particular passage, Lord, in your word. I pray that you help me to focus on the truths you've taught me through it, Lord, and that you give us all hearts to understand as we approach the topic of stewardship, Lord, of your mysteries. So I thank you so much for your grace tonight that brought all of us here, Lord. I thank you again for the worship, for the music. I thank you for everybody who's here tonight, Lord. I pray that you give us hearts to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's familiarize ourselves a little bit with what's going on in this passage. Now, Paul, when he says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ," he's referring to himself and his fellow workers and ministers in pastoring positions, teaching positions, ministry positions, evangelist positions that he had associated with. And in the previous chapter, he talks about other of the ministers that he worked with, Apollos. In other parts of Scripture, he talks about Cephas and Timotheus, many other fellow workers that Paul had. And what he's saying is, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Let all men calculate us to be, reckon us to be. That word, account of us, means nothing more than we should be reckoned. We are simply ministers and stewards of the mysteries of God. And I want to get into those two words that he's using there. He's saying we're ministers and he's saying we're stewards. I want to touch on the mysteries of God, and I want to look a little bit through the following verses after that tonight. So do follow along and allow the Lord to speak to you personally, because I'm certainly not going to be able to get all of the truths out of this text. But come back with me to chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. I want to sort of lay the foundation in helping us to understand the context, what Paul is getting at here. Now, first of all, let's understand the carnality of the Corinthians in his rebuke. He's saying, let a man so account of us, but we need to sort of get the background as to why he's saying that. Why is he... It's as if there's an incorrect view of him and Cephas and Apollos and the other ministers that these Corinthians had. I don't know which ones had visited the church, which ones had started the church, but they had an incorrect view of those who were doing ministry in their presence. So let's read from verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" So what the Corinthians had done is they had lost the sight of the bigger picture. And what Paul is saying is, you're exulting in man. You're finding your joy in what man has done for you rather than what Christ has done for you. And Paul is trying to correct their view of himself and of the other ministers in their lives and bring it down to the level that it needs to be, and that is below Christ. We are ministers of Christ. We are servants of Christ. Christ is the head. He is the one that gives the increase. Let's read on. Verse 5 says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So the first point we have to realize in our stewardship Now, Paul said, we are ministers and we are stewards of God. I want to focus on the implications of those two things, particularly stewardship. But one of the key points in understanding our role in ministering the gospel to others and ministering the truths of God to those around us, even those that know the Lord faithfully, is understanding that God is sovereign over what happens. We must recognize the power of God in our ministry. If we see ourselves as ultimately powerful in bringing someone to Christ, we're going to fall into carnality just like the Corinthians did. So the Corinthians were looking at Paul and Apollos and they were saying, I'm of this preacher, I'm of that preacher, I'm of that minister, that evangelist, instead of saying, I serve Christ. My purpose is to serve Christ like a humble minister and a steward of the mysteries of God. So that's the first rebuke that Paul makes, is you're being carnal. You're not thinking spiritually. You're not acting in a spiritual way by having the correct view of God's power and your role in comparison to God in what he's doing and what you're doing in this whole picture. You're missing the big picture. So first of all, we have to understand the power of God in our ministering, in our discipling, so to speak. Now, Paul is talking about himself and other ministers of the gospel, and perhaps in leadership positions, those that were traveling from church to church and preaching, planting churches. Not all of us get the opportunity to do that. Quite frankly, not all of us are called to that ministry, but this is applicable to all of us in that this text is touching on all of us it's towards all of us simply because we're all called to be stewards and ministers of the gospel. We all have opportunities to disciple others, to teach others out of Scripture, whether that's our family, whether that's our loved ones, our friends. Perhaps it is in a place of leadership in a church or teaching or preaching, whatever it is. We've all got opportunities that God has given us to be stewards of his truths and to spread those around, to disciple people. And so this is applicable to us, not just those that are in leadership that are preaching or teaching or in places where they're exercising some sort of speaking gift. This is for all of us. So let's remind ourselves of God's power and the fact that God is the one that gives the increase. Now, we see portrayed, once again, Paul's attitude and his view of God that is so lofty as we read through the start of chapter 4. We've laid the groundwork, we've shown the context, the foundation of what's going on, why Paul is commanding the Corinthians to bring their view of him down. He's doing that because he has a view of God. Now, when we have a correct view of God's power, of God's holiness, of, as we'll touch on more in a minute, the mysteries of God, the nature of the truths of God that have been given to us in the gospel, we will want to step out of the way. We won't want to get in the way of God's work. We simply serve God and we give the glory to God. And that is the example that Paul is portraying here. His heart is that of a man that is humble. He sees who he is in comparison to God. He sees his part in the whole plan of God's salvation, of God's growing his children in the truths and the mysteries of God. And he wants to get out of the way. He says, don't glorify me. Glorify God. Don't exalt in me. Exalt in God. God is the one who gives the increase. Let a man account of us ministers, let a man reckon us to be the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, the word ministers there is really interesting. I didn't realize this until I listened to a sermon on this text. The word minister in the Greek, and I wouldn't have had the observance to really look into this, but the word minister is the word huperates, which is hooper having the idea of being underneath, and rates is rowing. And so what he's saying is, I'm an under rower of Christ. Now, if you've studied history, which I really, my knowledge of history is absolutely shockingly terrible. The only history I think I've probably studied is four sermons. But in about 450 to 500 BC, the Greeks made these ginormous, colossal ships called triremes, and they had three levels of rowers. In the Athenian navy, they were not slaves most of the time. The Romans had similar ships which had slaves on the three levels. But what Paul is referring to here is these ships that were so they enabled the Greeks to have incredible victories in sea battles. They gave Greece the opportunity to rise in the Persian Wars, and they were these incredible incredibly engineered ships that we still marvel at in modern times. Engineers and people like that have trouble re-engineering them to this day because of how intricate that they were. And what Paul is saying is the way we should regard ourselves, and of course it's tempting to look at someone like Paul, someone who was a preacher, who was at the very, very top. We seem to go, okay, well, you got your churchgoers, and then you got your people active in ministry, and then you got your preachers and your teachers all the way at the top. What Paul is saying is, as a minister, as a preacher, as someone who Paul and Apollos, they were going from church to church, they were starting churches, they were preaching the gospel, they were doing incredible things for God. And what he's saying is, no matter what I've done for God, he's the one that's given the increase. All I am is a third level galley slave, essentially. All I am is, I'm at the very bottom of this ship. I'm a hooperates. I'm an under rower. I'm at the very bottom of the level in complete obscurity, out of sight. Nobody from these ships were absolutely some of the fastest ships on the sea because of the manpower behind them. And a lot of that was to do with the people at the bottom, on the bottom level of these trireme ships. They had to put more effort into it than those above because they were catching more water. And so that's not correct. There was one row each. So don't mind my body language there. Don't let that distract you from the truth of Scripture. But Paul is saying, this is how low you should be seeing me. All I am is a minister of God. All I am is a servant. I'm an under rower. I'm at the very bottom. God is the one that is in charge. That's the first illustration that Paul uses, and it's really a fascinating one when you look into it. So we see obscurity. We see that these men were constrained. We see that they were humble. They would have had to submit to the helmsman or to the captain of the ship. They were also dedicated to what they were doing. They were dedicated to motivating the ship so that they could have victory in battle. And I think Paul couldn't have chosen a better illustration for our duty in Christ. It's simply serving God, doing His will when He asks us to do it. If they had rowed out of time, there would be oars clacking on each other. There'd be no unity. There'd be no moving ships. There'd be no victory in battle. These men, these men in the Athenian navy, had to be in complete synchronization to accomplish their goals. So, what Paul is saying is that we need to be submitted to God. You need to account of me as someone who is out of sight, and he's given us, he's using that as I'm rattling on way too much on that point. Anyway, I see two main applications, I think, to verse 1 that I really sort of want to bring across. There's one application, there's one thing that Paul's trying to get across, and we can look at it from multiple directions. One of them is, how do we regard those in leadership? How do we regard those that have ministered the gospel to us? It's tempting, and I know I've done it in my life, it's tempting to look at those that perhaps someone who led you to the Lord, someone who brought you on the right track, helped, encouraged you to get back living for God, walking with the Lord. Maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's a member of your family, someone who's been a big spiritual influence in your life. It's so tempting to see them as higher than they should be, in that we see them as the one that gave the increase rather than Christ. But what Paul is saying is, bring your regard of me down. And the second application, I think, or the second angle we can look at that is how we regard ourselves, because we've all got opportunities to minister, we've all got opportunities to share the gospel, to share the truths of God with others, and then we're tempted when we see fruit from our ministry to others and from what we've been doing, our watering and our planting, we think, that's also me giving the increase, when no, God is the one that gave the increase. So it's tempting to lift our view of ourselves above what it should be as well. So there's those two angles I think we should take in mind. So let's look at the second picture that Paul is bringing across here. Stewards of the mysteries of God. So a steward in those times, and I suppose in a way in modern day as well, but a steward in as far as the meaning that Paul's trying to get at here is he was either a servant or a slave of a household that would distribute and manage the possessions of the master. Now, the slave had to show a great deal of accountability as he was in charge of everything that that the master owned. He would use the master's money to provide for and care for the home. He would distribute to the children, to other servants. There was a great deal of responsibility in what the steward had to do. And we see similar traits in both of these illustrations. We see a level of constraint, being a slave or a servant. We see humility. We see submission to the will of the master. And then, of course, being a steward, Paul has sort of displayed a level of accountability as well that is required. But then also activity. If you turn with me over to Matthew 25, verse 14, Matthew 25, I want to show you what bad stewardship looks like. And it's not me showing it to you, it's the way that Jesus brought it across so perfectly in his sermon, in his parable of the talents. So Matthew 25 and verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things, and enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We have a serious warning from Christ here, not to be slothful stewards of God's truths, not to be slothful stewards of the mysteries that God has given us. Now, I haven't properly touched on what that entails, and I want to do that now, but just to bring it back to where I was before, there's a level of activity that is required. We're to be active, obedient stewards of God's truths. You will never see a Christian living in the will of God who is up to absolutely nothing. If you're walking with God, he will have you busy in doing his work, no matter what that it may be, being on the mowing roster, it may be whatever it is. God has something for you to be doing right now in response to the salvation that he's given you. So let's be active stewards of God's word. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I'll just read verse 2 and then we'll back up, because I meant to read verse 2 as well. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And I want to sort of talk a bit about faithful stewardship now. So before we can really continue on any further, I'm rattling on about the mysteries of God. What does that actually mean? What are the mysteries of God? Now, if you look into this, it's something. The Greek word behind this is I didn't write it down, but it has to do with a closed mouth. It's something that isn't spoken. It's hidden truths. And when we look at Scripture, it seems to indicate that the mysteries of God were God's lofty, high plan of salvation that he revealed to us in Christ. So the prophets prophesied of a Messiah coming, but we didn't know all the details about the atonement and about Christ dying on the cross and about all the things that God would reveal to us in Christ in his earthly ministry and through his word. But those are the mysteries of God. It's what God has revealed to us in Christ. Now, one reason I believe that is, if you go back a few sentences there. We'll start in verse 1 again. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we have two sentences that are parallel. We have ministers of Christ and we have stewards of the mysteries of God. So Paul has the words ministers and stewards matched up here to make the same illustration. And then he's got Christ and the mysteries of God. And so I conclude from that the mysteries of God must entail that which Christ has revealed to us. It's to do with Christ. It's what has been made known in Christ. So the mysteries of God have been revealed in Christ. Now, these mysteries are truths that are life-changing and that are life-giving. They're truths that are not only beneficial for those that don't know God, sorry, for those that do know God, but those that don't. The truths of God and the mercy of Christ and the goodness of Him and what He's done for us and who He is, the gospel, we would say, that is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But these truths are also powerful in the lives of those who believe. They give us victory over sin. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. They help us grow in our lives as Christians. 1 Peter 2:2 says, As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. They give us freedom. Jesus said that in John 8:31, he said, Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, shall make you free. And then we use the mysteries of God as faithful stewards. We use those mysteries, those truths, to encourage each other in the faith. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So we have duty to distribute these mysteries as a faithful steward, as someone who would provide for his household. Paul is saying, Wes, I'm simply a minister, I'm simply a steward, someone who is providing the possessions that God has given me are the mysteries of Christ, and I'm using them to provide for the household of God. That is what a steward is. And we all have part in that. It's not just preachers and teachers. Everybody has a part in encouraging each other in the Lord and in discipling one another through the mysteries of God, which are the truths of who He is and His Word. So I hope that clarifies a little bit the term mysteries of God, the hidden truths that God has revealed to us in Christ. And I want to touch on in the final three verses. Now not three, but we'll read on. We haven't read these ones yet. Verse 3 says, But with me, this is in 1 Corinthians 4, But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Verse 6 says, And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above, which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So I think a point that we have to take into account from these verses in being a faithful steward to God is understanding that we need to seek to please God in our stewardship and not man. It's so tempting, and this just it goes hand in hand with what we said before. It's so tempting to lose sight of the bigger picture and why we're serving God, what we've been made for, glorifying God by sharing Him with other people, living to make others glad in God, giving them joy in God by showing them who He is, showing them the mysteries of Christ that He has given to you. It's like going to a friend and saying, this is what I learned in my Bible the other day. This is just, and you both just rejoice. And you know, it's that's something that we all do. And I don't know how that has to do with seeking to please God rather than man, but that's, you know, that's the point I'm trying to make here. And I believe Paul is making that point from verse 4 onwards. He's saying, please God. He's saying, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. God, talking about what he was saying before, he had not just people that were raising him higher than he needed to be raised in their eyes, but they were also criticizing him. There were some that were saying, I'm of Apollos, but I reject Paul's ministry. And some that were saying, I'm of Paul, but I reject Apollos' ministry. And Paul is saying, you can judge me. I don't even judge myself. He says, he that judgeth me is the Lord. Verse 4 says, for I know nothing by myself. What he means by that is, I have a clean conscience in my ministry. In what I'm doing, I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I believe I'm doing the right thing. But ultimately, I'm not my own judge. God is my judge. So Paul is displaying a character trait in his stewardship that he seeks to please God and not man. He sees God as his ultimate judge. He sees God as the one that will give him praise. Verse 5 says, every man have praise of God. He has a view of the bigger picture. He has a view of who God is and who he is. And that creates humility in him and enables him to be a faithful steward of God. So understand that we must seek to please God. We must see man in their place. Obviously, it's good to take into account when if you have a bad perspective on something in Scripture and someone comes to you and says, I don't think that's correct. That's good. It's good to take that into account. But don't do everything for people in that you lose sight of why you're sharing these truths with people, why you're stewarding, who you're stewarding for. It's not, you're not serving people, you're not seeking to please man, you're seeking to please God. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on Christ in every ministry you do, in every area of discipling that you do, even when you're telling a friend about Christ, when you're simply doing devotions with your kids at night or with your family. Keep that in mind. I'm doing this unto Christ. He's the one that's judging me for what I'm saying. Doesn't matter what man says. It matters to a degree in that as I look to Christ, I desire to faithfully feed the flock and faithfully help others know correctly what his word is saying. But ultimately, Christ is at the top of that. My pleasing man is not an end in itself. I'm seeking to build others up for the sake of glorifying Christ. Christ needs to be at the very top of all of your desires and all of your motives, because he is the judge. He's the one that will give us the rewards of our labors. Verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. I've lost my place there. And then shall every man have praise of God. So I struggled to bring across a conclusion when I was studying this. I was blessed by it when I read through it in my personal devotions, but then when I started studying 1 Corinthians 4 verses 1 to 3, 1 to 2, I just thought, there is so much more to this that I didn't see when I read it in my personal devotions. So I hope somehow there's a challenge there for every one of us here today. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher, a teacher, whether you're active in ministry, whether you're simply discipling your children or discipling your family, encouraging your friends and people in your life through the Word of God. I encourage you more and more to be active as stewards. Go out and you see a Bible verse that blesses you, or a hymn that really blesses you. Go and share it with someone. Go and say, look, this is what I've learned from this. What do you think? And bounce off each other. And that's what we're encouraged to do. And that is being a steward of the mysteries of God. Those mysteries of God are contained in everything that God has given you about himself. Every truth that he has revealed to you, we are commanded to manage and distribute and be stewards of faithfully. And that you don't have to be a preacher or an evangelist to do that. Simply share with others the glories of God and keep him in mind. Keep him in perspective. Remember that he is the one that gives the increase. Don't let your view of yourself in discipling someone, in bringing someone to the Lord, in encouraging someone in the faith and seeing fruit in their life. Wow, look what I've done. Don't see yourself as the ultimate, the person. See yourself as Paul encourages and beckons us to see him as ministers of Christ, under rowers, the very bottom of the bottom. We're simply out of sight, letting God do what he will, and we're doing our duty. So overall, over everything I've said tonight, I hope what I can get across more than anything is just having a right view of God. Because when we have a right view of God, we will be enabled to be faithful stewards, because we'll want to get out of the way and let him work. We don't want to, I'm not saying we give someone a track and then run off before they can say, what does this mean? We acknowledge our place and God's place. that creates humility in us. We understand that He is the one that is giving the increase, and we glorify Him and we let Him be our judge. And not only that, but we see others around us. We don't idolize others around us. We see God as the one who's given the increase. All right. Well, that's all I've got. And I hope that's something there on that. It's a bit of a shotgun burst rather than a sniper shot there. But I pray that was a blessing to all of you. All right. Thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness. I thank you so much for this text here tonight, Lord. I pray you'll encourage us all to go and search it out for ourselves and uncover more of the jewels of the truths of your word, dear God. I just pray that you encourage us all to have a right view of you, Lord, to regard not only those in leadership to us, those who have preached the gospel to us or encouraged us, as simply means of God, Lord, but also ourselves as we disciple others, as we teach and preach and whatever else, whatever other ministries we have and leaderships and whatever else you've called us to do, to not to exalt or to glory in ourselves or our own works, but to simply see and savor and enjoy and glory in the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and in who you are, Lord, in our duty. To see our duty correctly, Lord, we are simply under rowers. We are servants. We are at the very bottom level of this galley of your purpose, of your saving love and desire to draw men to yourself, Father. And we're simply doing our duty and our part in that. We thank you that you've created us for something big. You've created us to be a part of something incredible, Lord, but we are not out to praise ourselves, to live for ourselves. Instead, we need to view you as our sovereign and our Lord. So I thank you so much for your word. Help us to dig into it and let it challenge us day after day. In Jesus' name, amen.